Our lesson for today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 24 through 46. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise leadership over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag, or knapsack, or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." He said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment." And they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Grayson Grenz, Trinity Lutheran Church, Wyandotte, Michigan.
A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. This dispute, as recorded in chapter 22 of the Gospel according to Luke, immediately follows the institution of Holy Communion and Jesus' revelation that one of the 12 seated with him at the table would betray him. Luke tells us, "And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this." Apparently, that discussion of who would be daft enough to betray the Lord led the 12 back into an old disagreement about who among them was the greatest. This dispute highlights for us the misunderstanding the disciples still had about who Jesus was and what he was going to do in Jerusalem. Their inability to comprehend the plan of salvation was actually part of God's design for the redemption of humanity. Jesus alludes to this later on in our scripture lesson when he says, "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment." The thoughts and actions of the disciples here at the Last Supper show us that they are among those sinners whom Jesus came to save. Their sinful hearts long to be served by others rather than to serve others. This is the desire behind their dispute. Jesus responds by differentiating them from the rulers of the peoples of this world, saying, "Let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves." And he gives to them his own example. "I am among you as the one who serves." The disciples are also confident of their ability to follow Jesus to the utmost. Peter tells him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." But Jesus knows he will not, and predicts Peter's three denials. Christ knows that all the disciples will desert him, and here in Luke commissions Simon Peter to strengthen them. He does this by praying for them all, that their faith may not fail as Satan tempts them to reject Jesus over the coming days. The disciples also show a lack of reliance upon the Lord's provision and control of the events of this world. They have brought with them swords to the great Passover feast, thinking that they will somehow play a role in Christ's rise to power. Two swords against the combined might of Rome and the clout of the religious leaders. "It is enough," Jesus said, "but it will also not be needed." We should see ourselves in these disciples. Service is not our strong point, especially not selfless service. We prefer, "You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours," not the example of Christ. We may not say with Peter that we are ready to go to prison and to death for our faith, but often much of our spiritual lives does focus more on our efforts rather than upon Christ's grace. Discipleship is more often about what we do instead of who we follow. And we too show a lack of reliance on God's provision and His control when what we have just isn't enough, and wonder why God hasn't done what we've asked Him to do about the problem we're facing. Our sinful hearts always assert our will over and against God's will, again and again and again. And so we too are among the transgressors Jesus came to save. Thankfully, the last part of our scripture lesson shows that Jesus did not assert His will over and against God's. Jesus is in the throes of the temptation by the devil to put aside God's plan and His will for Christ's life and to assert His own, as all of sinful humanity does. But He does not succumb to the temptation. He prays, "Not my will, but yours be done," just as He earlier taught His disciples to pray. And He is given comfort and encouragement to fulfill God's will. Jesus' prayer relinquishes control to God above and shows reliance upon the Father. His prayer shows his trust in God to sustain him in what lies ahead. His prayer reaffirms his submission to God's plan of salvation and his willingness to serve the sinners he came to save, you and me and all of humanity. Christ did what we could not do, and his obedience led him to the cross to atone for our sinful selfishness. It is here that Christ's final instructions to his disciples are crucial for us as Christians. "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." May the Word of God today open our hearts and minds to see our own sinfulness, the rebellious heart within us seeking our will rather than God's. And may we pray to our Father in heaven, as our Savior Jesus did, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may withstand this temptation to reject God's will in our lives, but instead to embrace it in selfless service of others, renewed vigor in following our Lord, and reliance upon God for our protection and provision. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.
We thank Pastor Grayson Grins for today's meditation on God's Word.